if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
What Dan says, but I'm not Dan. I am Coleman,
and you are
listening to the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. Again, I am Coleman. Hi, and with me is Mr. Timothy Ken of James Hibbs, and we are with you on most sensual day of the year. It is Valentine's Day. I mean, it's not for us; it's the day before Valentine's Day. But we are recording a day early, originally planned, so Valentine's Day could be free for all. But unfortunately, oh no, Sir Daniel has been succumbed to the love bug or a general sickness bug.
Okay, this we're going to have to go behind the scenes here for a minute because, like, this is a revolutionary thing in how we're podcasting. I can see you.
Yes.
We haven't done this before.
This is weird.
I can wave to you, and that doesn't come across in an audio podcast.
Yeah, this is us trying to set it up like a radio show.
Yeah, I know. The breakfast show with Coleman and Tim.
10 to 11 this morning, Dan contacted me to say he's sick. And he'll try be ready for the show. And I went, oh, that's okay. Let me know by lunchtime if you're all right. And just before two, he went, yeah, no, it's not happening. So, unfortunately, regrettably, Daniel is not with us today. So, Daniel of Dan of Gibbon.
Boy, the sounds of that lunch maybe did not go well.
Yes.
Might have been viewed twice.
That leaves us on Valentine's Day for the Valentine's Day special.
Just the two of us.
Yeah, it's a podcast with my significant other, Tim.
Yes.
There
significant
we go.
Podcasting other.
All right, man. So how have you been this week, sir?
Yeah, good. I will add in, I haven't played that many video games, but I have played video game board games. So I don't know if that's good enough for this show, really, but
we'll
see when we come onto that later. But other than that,
menus, you can describe the size of dice.
Oh, no. Now I've got a whole book to describe, like, the instruction book. It's like a menu, but a book.
A book.
Or a booklet, sometimes.
Pamphlet.
Sometimes.
Leaflet.
Sometimes it's a piece of card. Other than that, yeah, been mighty fine. What about yourself, sir?
Yeah, not bad. Loads of work. House hunting, so that's fun.
You need really big spear. Really big.
Massive net.
Huge net.
That's my horrible dad joke whenever someone's like, oh, I've got to go catch a bus. big net. That little
the house hunting thing. The one good thing is, Coleman, they generally remain still
unless they have a gazebo.
So they are a bit easier to find, even if you can't necessarily kill them easily.
You know about the majestic gazebo?
Yes,
running through the plains of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Good.
But yes, on this day of love, some certain video game companies are not having a lovely time of it at the moment, namely EA being one of them. There was a couple of them, actually, I think, this week. But the biggest one that's come to news is Activision Blizzard.
Mm.
So we've been talking about them a lot lately. There's been the whole fiasco with Diablo Mobile not going down well at BlizzCon, followed that with Bungie going off on their own way. They can go their own way and take Destiny with them. We got rumblings earlier this week that, I think on the Friday or the weekend, we got rumblings that Activision Blizzard were looking to make some quite substantial layoffs, which is not great for anyone. And today, the day we start podcasting, we did get the confirmation that ahead of their fourth quarter earnings report, Activision Blizzard have started the process of laying off their staff. So during the earnings call, they said that they're looking to axe approximately 8% of the workforce, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that is, for a large company, that's nearly 800 employees.
I think 775 is the figure I've seen banded around.
775.
But rounded up to 800 because obviously that makes it seem a bit worse, I guess, but it probably is a few more people on top of the 875. Who knows? But I never like to see people losing their jobs, but I can see why, because apparently, and I don't know if this was the case, because I saw this was the rumor beforehand, and I haven't seen that necessarily plays out in who was let go or whatever. But apparently they were going to have layoffs in the esports department, which surprised me. You know, that's something they're pulling away from a bit. don't know. But then also their publishing wing, by the looks of things.
Mm.
And some of the people that I saw, and I did ask for a comment from one of them, and possibly, yeah, crash time, so apologies if that was the case, but haven't had a comment back necessarily. But I was just wondering, because there was a Haimin Studios is a company that was basically seemingly all they were doing were helping out with the publishing of Destiny, basically.
Yeah.
So I presume that unless they were given assurances otherwise, that a lot of the layoffs came from there because they're no longer publishing Destiny. They no longer need a company to help them publish Destiny.
Are they, High Noon, were they the ones that did the Deadpool game?
And I
the Transformers so. Games?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I don't know if that I'm confusing them with someone else of a similar name, but at least what they were doing now at the moment, yeah, that's what I thought as well from the name. I'm not sure that that's necessarily 100% the case. Maybe we could have a look. But generally, yeah, what they were doing now at least was seemingly help. I don't know if they were involved with any of the developmental side. From what it seemed like, they were just helping with the publishing side of Destiny. Now, if that's the case, then obviously with them no longer publishing Destiny, there's going to be layoffs in the department that was helping them publish Destiny. That seems like, I know they're getting a lot of flack for this and it doesn't look good, and we'll come on to exactly why it looks even worse in light of what was said today by Bobby Kotick and stuff. But I'm just wondering, because unless they were given assurances at any other time that if, you know, after Destiny, they were going to have something else to do, I would have thought that a lot of people from that department probably saw that coming, you know, like, when they heard there were layoffs especially, then, you know, that's something where I would have suspected that they would have feared for their jobs, basically, more so than other people in other departments.
So the company overall, it looks like they're actually making profit. They're actually doing well, the company itself.
Record profits.
Record profits.
According to Bobby Kotick this morning.
What we're looking at is, and they also reported that they had $7.5 billion of record net revenues. So net revenues is mostly microtransactions.
You reckon?
Apparently so. But yeah, where they're making sales on their microtransactions and things, the sales of the actual games are starting to go stagnant on games that they were assuming they could still be selling. So apparently there's been a bit of a drop off on Overwatch. But yeah, it's not that the games aren't selling. It's that the ones that were selling over a period of time are now dropping off. That seems to be where the big marker is. Also, we had the Blizzard president, Jay Allen Brack. He came out and said that the staffing levels on teams were out of proportion with some of its current releases. So they're trying to even that out. But yeah, 800's a big even.
When you're a big company, and like I said, if they're losing a whole department that was helping them publish, I don't know that's 100% the case, but that seems to be the case for me. Or they, you know, there was a company that they'd hired in to do that, then they've pretty much let that a lot of people from that company go, or all the people that were helping that side of things, at least. So who knows? It might be a restructuring thing. I don't know if Haimin Studios are continuing. I presume they are in a different form, but who knows exactly what that form will be.
Activision's Call of Duty maps.
Yeah,
that's probably what they like to do with
that's
a studio.
What they like
when the studio has they've lived out the fulfillment of whatever game and it starts to drop off, they go, right, off you go to make maps for Call of Duty.
That's like equivalent of going out to pasture, yeah, or going up to the big farm.
Yeah, as long as they get to keep the name for something. I don't know. Yeah, it sucks. Someone who's been made redundant in the last few years. It's not a great feeling to be made redundant. It's not good when you come from a large company for an industry where it looks quite overcrowded in the market anyway. A lot of them are in areas where it looks like it's likely they could get other game employment if they don't go off on their own way or do whatever. And it's not necessarily game developers or artists and things that are getting made redundant. There's other areas within games companies, such as HR, finance, and all kinds of things that get affected as well along these lines.
Just to come back, you mentioned finance. And yeah, one thing that I was like, are you confusing? When they say record net revenues, What they mean is the net revenue is the overall revenue.
Yes. I'm talking
I'm talking
about
internet.
I'm talking about the contributing factors to that.
Right. Okay. But yeah, and they said 7.5 billion, and I think you said million, no?
Oh, did I? Meant to say billion. I do apologize.
Yeah. Just because someone was talking about the difference between million and billionaires, and I have these figures in my head, and I'm going to share this information. Someone was trying to illustrate the difference between million and billion. Yeah. And if you take it, I think it was something like a million seconds? I can't remember if it was seconds. Anyway, a million units of time, probably a second, maybe a minute, whatever it was, yeah, is equal to 81 days.
Yeah.
And a billion of them is equal to 222 years. That's the difference in scale between a million and a billion.
This is how I put it. At the end of the Monday Night Wars, Vince McMahon was a millionaire. When he went into business with Donald Trump, he was a billionaire. Yeah, the other company with EA, I remember, it was 2K. Is it 2K? Take-Two, sorry.
Take-Two.
They were complaining that their sales are now dropping off of their microtransactions.
Well, I do think EA and Activision Blizzard may have a big problem on their hands with the microtransactions, with the whole slippery slope with having to give in. I don't know if you saw EA recently gave in Belgium and have had to take out loot boxes and all the stuff in FIFA and all that type of stuff. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I do wonder if EA is going to have a problem with... So there's current regulations that are being put into place that you cannot advertise gambling whilst a football game is on, football-specific gambling. I don't know if that equates to TV, but it does on like websites and things. So I'm wondering if they'll have some kind, like if that's going to become a clampdown on the whole football FIFA Ultimate Team. As that does seem very aimed at children, especially in the sponsorships deals that they go for online and what have you.
Yeah, as I said, I think that could be a big... It could become a big problem for other consumers of video games, because they're going to have to find a revenue stream that gives them that amount of money or more this year, basically, or next year. Like, and they don't have a long amount of time to do it. So I really fear for that. Just to come back to a slight point as well, Bobby Kotick did say that they'd had record amounts of income, and that it makes the firing seem extra crass in that environment where they're saying we've got a record amount of money, but we've also let all these people go kind of thing. It doesn't read well. But like I said, there is a bit of a caveat with that, with there is some explanation for some of the losses if they're no longer publishing Destiny. And generally, most gamers were happy with that. So they now can't necessarily attack Activision Blizzard for letting go the publishing side of Destiny. Like, you can't be angry with them for doing the thing that you asked them to do, basically.
Yeah.
Like, there are other losses on top of that by the look of things. I don't know how many of those 800 came from people in those sorts of positions or related to Destiny, but they were obviously, you know, staffed up to handle that, and they don't need to do that anymore. Perhaps they're taking similar steps back in other properties, I don't know. Or perhaps they're just deciding to downsize because, you know, that helps the company's bottom line at the end of the day.
Talking about other properties. So this might not be of much interest to you, Tim, but it sure was for me.
Yep.
So we've spoken about the death of Guitar Hero and Rock Bands and those kinds of games in the past. And then miraculously in 2015, they all came back at the same time for some perplexing reason. But hey. Whereas Harmonix decided to go the route of let's let you use all your old equipment and let's make the same game and let you forward transfer all your DLC and things, which is a nice route to take. Activision Blizzard, they went the route of let's make a new version of Guitar Hero with new controllers and new systems and has to be on this console and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, that launched in 2015. I waited for the thing to go down in price and then picked it up for myself. Really good game, I thought. One of the interesting things about it, as well as the 42 bass songs you had on this game, they had a thing called Guitar Hero TV, which are 2-3 channels of constantly streaming music videos, which you can just, you could have that on for a party because it's one song after the other, and pretty decent songs, pop, rock, all kinds of things, and different specialist channels and stuff. And they'll play certain things at different times of the day. And you pick up your guitar when you go, oh, I love this song. Wah, wah, I'm going to play along with this. Yeah, carry on my wayward son. Love it. Really good idea. One of the other things that I wasn't too keen on is they brought in this whole system of you couldn't really download DLC anymore. You couldn't download tracks. You couldn't buy the track and download it.
Why is that?
Because they could sell you a currency with your real money.
Right.
That you then use to purchase the ability to play that game through the streaming platform of GHTV, which wasn't great. And that spelt disaster for me. And would you know, it spells disaster for the game itself.
So they cut off one of their main revenue streams, basically. Yeah, pretty much. Replaced it with something more convoluted and seemingly less useful for the consumer.
Yeah.
And then they're surprised when that blows up in their face.
Yeah. Last year, Activision announced that in June, in fact, they announced that at the end of the year, Guitar Hero TV will have to end because of the license agreements for all the streaming and stuff, because it's not part of the main game, would be up. That means if you spent money on microtransactions, you wasted it. Yeah, there's all these songs you can't play anymore. And also, that's the system you use for your multiplayer online. You can't use that anymore.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like, all these different things. Basically, a whole chunk of that game is now gone.
Mm.
And Activision decided, rather than pony up the money for the licensing to extend it, for all the people that have bought the game, you know, just a few years prior, they thought it was much cheaper to offer refunds to anyone that has bought Guitar Hero Live.
Really?
So I don't think they sold that many copies overall. And annoyingly, it's for the US only.
Right. What, the refund?
Yeah.
Oh, that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so they were just worried about a class action lawsuit in America, possibly.
Yeah, that seems to usually be what happens. But the interesting thing, yeah, if you go on the Guitar Hero Live website now, you'll be greeted with this big letter basically saying, hey, we'll give you a refund if you follow these steps, fill out this form, you've got to have proof of purchase, blah, 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 blah. Got to keep your proof of purchase from 2015.
Such an unreasonable demand. Anyway.
Which, if you look at any physical game of mine, there is the receipt in there with the... Yeah, so
that's not a bad
plan.
That's
the same case as mine with Guitar Hero. US only. Oh, you dicks. But then every subsequent page you follow, every subpage, any menu option, anything, it will come to that same thing again with the content then below it. And it's a big, big old like A4 size type letter. That looks like the death of Guitar Hero once more. If they bring it back, hopefully they go for a more traditional style, because turning a rhythm game into a games of service didn't seem like a good idea. Unless it's a mobile rhythm game.
See, I don't understand. They already had a really good revenue source of just selling you songs forever.
The problem, I think the problem they had with Guitar Hero overall, ignoring the fact that once they had Activision had the Guitar Hero license all to themselves, they milked the holy hell out of it. You had a Guitar Hero game plus a Guitar Hero side game plus a band-specific game plus DJ Hero, you know, all at once, and then the various mobile and handheld platform versions of them as well. And yeah, they just milked that for all it was worth. But I think the big problem they had is they published Guitar Hero 1, they published Guitar Hero 2, and then they bought the game license from Harmonix, who then went, okay, well, we're going to make Rock Band. That was their problem, that Harmonix didn't stop.
Right.
So they had this weird competition that just never really worked out well for anyone, to be honest. But yeah, Guitar Hero, we hardly knew ye. Oh, I did. I knew ye way too much. There you go.
To be honest, I never, you know me, I've never really got on with the Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I much prefer Drop Mix. We can take as an opportunity to sell some more copies of Drop Mix.
Oh yeah, why not? Although I'm quite annoyed because if you were a member of the, basically their newsletter program, the Insider program, you sign up, you give your address and all that stuff. If you were a member of that, then they sent you a free card with the Power Rangers theme tune. US only.
US only again. The hell?
What did I do to you, Harmonix? I have loved you. I bought every one of your Guitar Hero Rock Band games.
Yeah,
I paid the media licenses to move them forward, all my tracks and stuff. I've got you, Harmonix. I bought extra packs for bloody for Drop Mix. What's going on?
I
bought Amplitude.
Yeah, I think we should start the campaign to get Coleman Mighty Morphin Power Rangers card right now.
So before
I'll sign it.
before they gave them away to players as well, they gave them away at like a Power Rangers con. They have those, you know.
Yeah. Just Power Rangers.
Just Power Rangers.
Just everyone cosplays the Power Rangers.
I'm assuming it covers Power Rangers and, was it Super Sentai or whatever the Japanese version that was turned into Power Rangers?
White, probably.
And then you've got to remember there's like 20 billion iterations of Power Rangers.
That is true.
You go for many years. Yeah, they managed to make a whole like con out of that, I think. So it was given away to people that attended the con.
I'll say it's a con.
And then the surplus copies were given out to US players.
Right, maybe. Yeah.
And I did look on eBay.
Yep. How much?
$200.
Oh.
That's
no.
more than Dropmix.
No.
That's more than Dropmix when it launched.
That is true.
So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, Guitar Hero has gone, and I'm annoyed at Harmonix. So, a couple of points of interest this week. We've got four to get through, and they're pretty quick as well. Dangerous Driving is a game we've spoken about before. It's from the co-creators of the Burnout series, Fiona Sperry and Alex Ward. It's not been really doing well in preview.
Oh, that's a shame.
But it is finally getting its release for the 9th of April. £30, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. However, I think Burnout Paradise, the remaster, is £35 and tends to go for like £18, £15 in sales.
That sounds like this maybe should have been at a lower price. Although, I guess it seems like a reasonable price point compared to what they were putting out before.
There is.
I'd like to see what it is. I actually recently picked up both their previous games in a, like, they had a bundle deal with both of them, like Dangerous Golf. And
Crash Team Racing, it's just a completely unmemorable name for some reason,
and I can't remember it for that reason. But yeah, I bought both of them, and the crashing one's all right, it's okay, and I haven't played the golf one yet, basically, but it looked silly and fun. But for the price I picked them up, I was happy to pay that kind of thing. And also a developer I kind of like to support, because I'd like to see what, you know, they can come up with. It's a shame this
like
one
Burnout.
Yeah, but it's a shame if this one hasn't, like, you know, really kind of gelled together, but I'll wait and see. I'll kind of reserve judgment until I play it myself a bit, because I kind of like the stuff that they do, basically.
You'll wait till the 9th of April for £30. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
I may wait to sometime after the 9th of April for less than the sum of £30, I think we may find common. But we'll see how that goes.
I'm going
to
play your copy when you inevitably buy it.
Yes.
Right. Total War 3 Kingdoms has been delayed.
No.
So this was going to come out on the 7th of March. They have now put it back to the 23rd of May, because it's going to be May. Just under 2 months difference. Apparently they've got to add
stuff.
Yeah.
More war.
They have to allow for... Well, this is the
quote.
There
wasn't enough war.
They have to allow for new systems to be ready. Groundbreaking systems, may I add.
Do they need to break the ground? Is that a necessary war tactic?
Well, that would be a bug, and they also have to fix some bugs.
Okay, good.
And my favourite, every time a game gets delayed, every developer uses this.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to apply polish.
Good.
Good.
Bit of spitting polish.
Loads of cans of Mr. Sheen over at Creative Assembly being sprayed all over the Romans or whoever your players in the game. I don't play Total War. I hide it very well. Okay.
I respect the fact it's a very good turn-based strategy game, and that's the type of thing that I like, but it's not the type of turn-based thing that I like. In terms of it's more, I find they're more like time management games in those type of situations, which I enjoy less. I just enjoy slower strategy games, kind of thing, and then at my own pace.
I always pop my head in when they're at rest, which is most rests, and go, this is a very pretty looking game.
I wish I was
more interested.
But it looks like a standout thing. Well, Total War series in general looks like, you know, it's kind of one of the tent poles in this kind of genre. But every time I'm like, yeah, it looks good, maybe I should give it a try. And I'm like, no, I just don't like this.
Well, okay, I'm going to put this out for Creative Assembly. So forget your Total War, Three Kingdoms, forget your Rome, forget your Warhammer. Here's the license for you. Picture this. Total War.
Garfield.
Rabbids.
Rabbids. I prefer Garfield.
Cross Minions. I'm up for that.
Oh, Rabbids Cross Minions. Okay, yeah, that would get a bit crazy.
Which team would you side with?
A huge wall of yellow and a huge wall of white.
Screaming gibberish.
Yeah. Oh, God. Which one would get more annoying more quickly?
See, rabbits have been on this earth longer, and I'm still not sick of them.
No?
I love me a Rabid.
I've never been a massive fan, but I really did like them in Mario X Rabbids thing. That was really good.
Yes. Moving on the not only will Valentine's Day today be celebrated by those of the loving variety, it'll also be celebrated by those of the putting robot suits on and flying around and shooty thing variety. Not because Anthem is out, but because there will be a live action short film released on YouTube. Well, it'll be out now by the time you're listening to this. I think it comes out 3:30 in the UK, so it'll already be out. But what's quite cool about this, it's directed by Neil Blomkamp.
He
of District 9 and other films that aren't as good as District 9 fame.
And Chappie,
yeah. Almost an alien film.
Almost made an alien film.
Yeah. But that looks cool.
Yeah.
It's called Anthem Conviction. Which does sound like an alien title.
Yes.
Alien Conviction.
Yeah, but isn't that 3?
No, that's Resurrect. No, that's just three.
That's just 3.
Alien 3.
Yes.
Alien.
But it's set in a prison. So
aliens.
That could have been Alien Conviction.
Alien 3.
See where I went?
Alien Resurrection. Alien vs. Predator 1 and 2.
Oh, God.
Prometheus?
Yes.
Alien Other One.
Alien Other One.
Alien Michael Fassbender is going to make out of himself Covenant. In this movie.
No.
Covenant. Covenant? Covenant.
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 Government. Alien Government.
Alien Government.
There's an alien sequel. In the government.
The sequel.
No, I thought we uncovered a conspiracy theory there, Colin.
Alien in the government.
There's an alien in the government.
Yeah, I know. She's the prime minister.
She does that. No, that's not even a good costume for an alien. That's not even a good disguise. It's a rubbish disguise for an alien.
Moving on. From the UK government to the US, if you didn't get your chance to play the Division 2 closed beta like Tim and Breezy didn't, because my invites, for some reason, I left the invites too late. I should have done them at the minute it dropped.
What?
Because what happened is they went, hey, you get to invite 3 friends. I'm like, cool.
Okay. Oh,
I've got 3 friends.
Oh, yeah.
And then I loaded up to go add people because I was getting messages from Bleezy saying, please add me. Mm-hmm. And the section had disappeared.
Oh.
And I looked on Ubisoft and they said, we've removed the section. It will be back later.
Oh.
It never came back.
Oh.
But I did get to play with
my girlfriend. Did that section die on the way back to its home planet?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I did get to find if I loaded it on 2 PS4s side by side, it worked that way. So I did get to play some with the missus rather than with friends. So yay, I win. Anyway, if you didn't get the chance to play the closed beta of the Division 2, there is now an open beta, which is going to happen on the 1st till the 4th of March, and that will be on concurrent PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. So there you go, open beta, give it a go. And I want to talk about Division 2 for what we done played, because Dan got to speak about this a lot. It's becoming a bit of a habit now. Yep. Dan talks about Anthem. The following week, I talk about Anthem. Dan talks about Division 2. Now I'm going to talk about Division 2 because I got to play with my partner, like I said. And in comparison to the Anthem demo, not a beta, demo, which, by the way, they still let you download the demo. You can't play it.
Good.
I heard this from people at work because I was talking about it with someone at work, and then someone overheard and went, oh, I downloaded that demo. Doesn't work. Doesn't log in. It's because it's timed up. Why come I can download it? I don't know. Yeah, EA's finances are all over the place, mate. I don't know what's going on. So the Division 2, that was a much smoother beta. I think I had 2 crashes, and I did play a lot of it. I think we played 10 hours in total together. Dan played a lot of more of the Division than me. That doesn't mean to say I didn't play a lot of Division.
Right.
I played a huge amount. I think that was my most played game that year that wasn't Destiny.
Yeah.
I don't see any change that isn't setting.
Really, they're just going, here you go, different place.
I didn't see any difference. I
thought, isn't there more of a class-based thing now?
I guess, but if there's a lot of stuff that you try to access in the menus and it's just not available in beta.
Right.
So I don't know. And there are flying drones now, which you couldn't access in the beta. But other than that, yeah, it was all pretty much the same. I had my little roly ball droid thing that could roll off into an enemy in a distance and blow up. That was fun. I like those. I had the little turret that you can stand up on a knee-high wall and make it shoot at things while you duck behind it. That was fun. But otherwise, it just felt like the Division. which isn't a bad thing. I really enjoyed my time with The Division, and I probably still will pick this up, but I didn't see what the giant selling point of this was other than all the snow's melted.
Well, it is in a different place.
Yeah, Washington, D.C.
Sorry, that's your selling point.
Yeah.
How much do you want to go to Washington?
I did mess around in the Oval Office, much like Dan did, which isn't, you go in there and you one of the features of The Division was trying to piece together what happened during the outbreak, which you do through cell phones and recordings and piecing together holographic imagery and stuff. And that's all there as well. But if you go into the Oval Office, like Dan said, there's a phone there, you pick it up, and there are some jabs about keeping Mexico out with the border wall, why it's not a good idea and all this kind of stuff. So I'm pretty sure that's linked into actual modern-day politics. But yeah, Division 2, if you liked The Division, then there's going to be more of that.
I have a question.
Yes.
From what you've played,
yep.
If you had to only choose one, Anthem or Division?
In the state I played them in, Division. If they come out and they're pristine and there's no problems with crashing and bugs and what have you, although there will be a lot of bugs in Division in Anthem because you shoot bugs. Anthem, I'd probably go for just because I like that flying mechanic. I like feeling like I'm Iron Man, basically. Iron Man with a gun.
Iron Man with a gun.
Iron Man with a gun. But yeah, give it a try for yourself when the open beta comes out from the Forced to the... Forced?
The Forced.
May the Forced be
May
with
the
you.
Forced be.
March the 1st till March the 4th. There you go. You can try it for yourself, Tim. Maybe I'll jump back in as well. And also, I played a game called Away, Journey to the Unexpected, which came out last week, downloaded just before our show last week. And I went, oh, this game that I pre-ordered's come out, and I've been waiting for years. What's it called?
You couldn't remember
the
name.
Don't know. It's got such a dumb name.
Yeah. It's a bit of a weird jumble of words in a sentence kind of thing. But because you've been raving about it so much, I kind of checked out a thing on my, just checked out the page on the Switch kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I really like the look of this. And just based on what you've said, I'm really interested to see if you can possibly sell me a copy of this game. So.
Okay. Now I'll emphasize this by, I did have a quick look around on reviews before today, and it's not reviewing very well.
Ah, because it looks
so
nice.
Opinions may vary. I spoke about this during our Res show, possibly last year, it might have been the year before, but I played it at 2 Res now. And what the game looks like on the surface is a first-person RPG. Yeah. You're in a 3D environment. You have 3D rendering hands, weapons, that kind of stuff. But all the characters that you interact with, be that enemies or NPCs on your side, are all like 2D anime-looking sprites. Yeah. And well, not even sprites, characters. And It's a nice look, it's a shiny look, and it's one that really attracted me to the game first off, for me to actually try it out at Rest. When I played it at Rest in small sessions, it looked like it was kind of a Elder Scrolls type thing.
Yeah, dungeon crawlery.
Yeah. But one of the elements to it was you could pick up these things called friendship cubes. And once you find a friendship cube, you can interact with one of the NPCs out in the world and they will suddenly join your quest. Because you are just a child with a stick. But the NPCs are like, it could be a mutant with some right. kind of bat, or there's a mutated tree that can throw out exploding seeds. Or my favorite, old man who is drunk and dabbles in wizardry and shoots fireballs from his staff. And I really like him as well, because when you find this guy, as the kid, you go, when you were drunk the other night, you were screaming something about being a wizard. He's like, no, I just dabble in magic. And then he joins your team. It's fine. And the idea is your character has health, but the NPCs that come and join you that you can then play as, they have energy. Energy is used up for the amount of time you switch to that character, or for the amount of hits they take, or the amount of attacks they use. Once that energy's got depleted, you can't use them anymore, unless you find some form of energy boost to bring it back up again. Hamburgers in this world.
Okay.
Right. When picking up the game itself and playing it full proper, it's a bit different how I imagined, because it's more like a roguelike in that you go through all the dungeons are procedurally generated. Or I don't even know they're procedurally generated. I think they're randomly generated from a set.
Right.
Load
set
of vines.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. And if you die, well, you don't die, you faint like a Pokemon, and wake up in your bedroom and you start again. And each time that happens, it resets all the levels and you have to go from the start. But then the more I'm progressing in the game, as I've started to find out today, because I've been doing the same bosses over and over again and failing, each time you have a reset, you've gained XP and it's building up a meter, and then different perks unlock for your character with that XP. Much like a roguelike, I guess. And one of the things I noticed today is when I finally beat a boss, that level then stayed open. So there was no more going back and doing these. And what the usual formula you have for each dungeon is you do three small dungeons and then that opens up the big dungeon, which takes you to the boss. And you can do those dungeons in any order you want, as long as the main one is last. Those three are to unlock it. And I found at one point, I don't know if it was because I kept sucking and losing at the boss, but it stopped making me have to go mandatory through the other three levels first and then come to the boss. It just straight away unlocked the boss. Then when I beat the boss, it kept that dungeon open so I could pass through it to access other levels.
Right.
It's a very beautiful art style. It's fun. I find it really fun. I need to read through these reviews properly and not do the really dumb thing of just skim, look at the score, look at the summary, and then walk off. You know, I need to read some of these in depth. PC Gamer was quite harsh on it, I believe, so I'll probably check that one out just to see the opposing opinions. But yeah, as a Switch game, I think the limitations of the Switch are between levels, dungeons, and restarting, there are quite long loading screens. But not so much that put me off from playing the game. It's just a minor ignorance, really. The game itself, I'm finding is
ignorance.
Fun. Annoyance.
Yes.
There we go. The game itself, I'm finding very fun. The writing really does make me laugh. The thing I spoke about in preview, which I forgot about and then made me laugh again when the game came out, there's the first level, because the game starts off and it turns out that some evil corporation had been mining for some kind of substance. Think the mining on Mars in Doom.
Right.
Where they accidentally unleash hell upon Mars.
As you do.
Yeah. They found some substance that is an evil, horrible substance and mutates things and turns creatures evil and all this kind of stuff. But they found it's a use of energy, so they mine it. What the hell? There's a supervisor. you see a guy in a hard hat, shirt, tie, and a squid arm and like a mutate, like weird tumors and stuff growing out of his face. And you walk up to him. He's like, yes, we've done some mining. There's no problem here. Ignore the liquid. You go, dude, you're turning into a monster. He's like, no, I'm not. Oh, am I? Oh, no. Oh, God, don't tell the wife, you know. And I still find that very funny now. And even one of the first things you see is if you go into the bathroom in your house at the beginning, there's a little frog in the toilet. And they put this in the trailer as well. And he's there going, oh, thank your grandpa for letting me have a nice little bath from time to time. And yeah, it's cute.
Yeah. If it's zany and funny and it's got that art style and the gameplay is enjoyable, then that sounds like, yeah, because it wasn't that expensive, no, from what I saw. It's like 14 quid or something from memory.
I always forget with Switch games. When it's a mid game, I can't remember if it's 15 or 25.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But it was something that I was like, okay, that's a Tim Price consideration kind of thing.
A Tim Price game.
Yeah.
I like that. Isn't Tim Price a comedian?
Maybe, yeah.
The one-liners.
Yes.
There we go. but yeah, if you're after a game on the move and that sounds appealing to you, and I would suggest this as a game on the move rather than sitting at home playing on the big screen.
While running or?
Commute.
Commute, right.
Good commute game.
Good commute game.
Switch is my commute console. I very rarely hook it to the TV. I only do it if I'm doing capture.
I like second screening with it, basically. It's good for when I'm watching football. And
it is.
That's why, yeah, turn-based games... quite a good sort of bedfellow with that as well. But yeah, like generally, yeah, I find that's good. And just quickly, I'll mention is it's the one video game that I play this week that I have played quite a lot more Wargroove, mainly because it suits that second screening and also because it's freaking awesome, but also quite hard still. Like I've seen a lot of people complaining about that being the case, so it doesn't look like that necessarily me. But yeah, like it's a bit, it's a little bit unforgiving. It kind of snowballs a bit. You know, if you lose one, make one tiny mistake, like an hour into a big map or whatever, and you're like, lose one unit in one key position, and you're like, that's going to cost me in half an hour's time. And then, yeah, it kind of does. But like, yeah, it can be really easy when things go badly for things to just not be recoverable. or you can just make a one-off mistake that leaves a key unit in a place where they just get butchered, kind of.
Isn't that 50 Cent's group?
Yes.
Key unit. Yeah, thought so. Can I drop a little Wargroove factoid on you?
Oh yes,
that I found out quite recently. So first of all, I need you to explain the dog soldiers.
Yes, there are squadrons of dog soldiers. There's different things. There's also a particular leader called Caesar, who's a dog as well.
Okay. Basically. Now, what happens when dog soldiers get hit?
This is a really nice story. Actually, originally, same as any other unit, they perished basically when getting stabbed or, you know, shot or whatever.
Stop saying that you know the same story. I was going to drop.
But it's still a nice story. You can tell the listeners. But that was the case, and they died like any other unit. But then I believe, I'm not sure if it necessarily just came from the one source, but I think there was one particular journalist that mentioned to them that it wasn't nice that the dog soldiers died, basically.
So it's someone that's been on our show as well.
Is it?
The story I saw on Twitter was that it was Kate Gray,
who's actually been
on this show.
Yes. Friend of the show, Kate Gray. Oh, I believe she's in Canada now, I think, if I'm correct.
Good for her.
But I believe she mentioned...
There's no dollar virus there.
But anyway, the point of the story was she mentioned to them that she didn't like the fact that the dogs perished when in combat, and they've actually made it that they're the only unit that instead of perishing just like runs away with a little bit of a whimper, basically. And yeah, it's quite cute, and that's quite nice. And yeah, Dog Commander Caesar is quite good.
Yes, good.
But yeah, I've...
Ruined my story.
I have really been continuing to enjoy Wargroove. It's added another 10-20 hours of play for my money, and I'm still not through the main campaign mode yet, basically. Some of the side missions for that are really tough and take a good few attempts. It's challenging, but in a really good way. Like, there's some tactical depth to some of the elements that I was mentioning last week that I've kind of come to appreciate a bit more. Like, when you're capturing an outpost thing that gives you currency, the unit health that captures it is important, which isn't something that was really an Advanced Wars thing. I don't remember it being so. It might have been if you capture the unit or capture a building type thing, which is representative of a city, I think, kind of idea, or a village in this case, I think it is in Wargroove, it then feeds you currency while you're commanding it, and the enemy can come and attack it and then wear it down and then capture it itself, basically, or vice versa to you. But there's some real nice tactical depth to that, because the health of the unit that captures affects the health of the thing that you capture. So you get half back. So if your unit is at the full 10 capacity, it starts at 5. And then every go, it will heal for another unit of health until it gets fully up to 10. Now, you can use those villages. If you park a unit next to it that suffered some damage, you can reinforce that unit for a percentage of that cost. So say you'd lost a unit that's worth 200, the battle pups, as we'd say, as we were mentioning them. If they're worth 200 and you've lost 5 of them, you park a unit that's got 5 of them left next to a city, and it takes you 100 to get them back up to 10 rather than buying a whole new unit of 10. But obviously the health of those cities and where you can get to like matters. And also, if you've got one of those kind of outposts on the front line of where you're attacking, it's quite useful to sometimes leave that undefended so the enemy has to attack that and wear down their health before they can attack you, and so it weakens them in the attack. So you can use it to your tactical advantage as well, basically. And it just adds a bit of depth to something that wasn't really there before, basically. And you have to take advantage of some of those things to get the best out of some of the maps, and I think that's why it's tough, because you're adding new tactics to what you're doing, you're having to get used to those things. And often if you're getting overwhelmed in the map, it's because you're using the wrong tactic, basically, or not using the tactic it wants you to use at that point, basically. But yeah, as I said, it's something that's been continuing to entertain me quite a lot, and just adds to my recommendation of it last week. Without even playing the other modes yet, I'm still, you know, really enjoying it. So yeah, really good.
Good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yes. The other things that I mentioned just at the top of the show, I will have a review for this in the coming weeks. I've been playing a bit of the Fallout board game. Which
go on, talk about your Fallout board game.
I'll just mention it quickly. I've played it 3 and 4 player so far, and I need to play it as a 1 and 2 player because it is actually something you can play in solo play as well.
Okay.
But so far, it does a really nice job of replicating the video game. And it's got really nice components and stuff like that. But it does a really nice job of replicating that, possibly to the detriment of it being the best board game it could be. You know what I mean? Like, it's it's got issues as a board game, but because they've incorporated all the elements of the video game into the board game, it kind of weighs it down a little bit.
Right.
But yeah, if that's what you're looking for, then I think it's quite good for that type of thing. And I'm enjoying my playthroughs of it. It feels like it could do with being a bit snappier, basically.
And okay.
It's also a bit unforgiving, which is thematically accurate to the universe and the game. But when you're the person on the receiving end in a multiplayer board game, that feels a bit unfair, kind of thing, you know?
In terms of, you say it's a good representation of Fallout as a board game. So there's single player elements, there are multiplayer elements. What is the overall objective? Is it a different thing? Are you just surviving as a single player or as a multiplayer? Are you trying to screw over players over?
One element that I really like, the one element I don't like about that is there's not much player interaction. If you're on the same space as another player, you can trade with them, but essentially you're all wandering around the wasteland as individuals.
Sounds like Fallout 76.
Well, it sounds a bit more like the original Fallout to me. You're on your own, you're kind of out in the universe. But the one thing I really like about it is it's got like a kind of narrative thread thing. You've got this deck that's numbered.
Sorry, a what?
No, a deck. D-E-C-K.
I don't understand.
E.
That.
E.
I don't understand.
There was no hint of a South African accent there.
I don't understand. Where's Dan?
Where's Dan when you need him? See, you can just insert a record of him saying it from previous week right here. Anyway.
Insert your dick.
But, basically, it's got a numbered deck of different cards. And then if you play through the events on that card, which are a bit complicated and a bit, like, hard to get through, but when you get used to the system, it works quite well. And you kind of can do one or the other objectives on the card to end that situation. And when you do, that has an effect, depending on which one of those objectives is achieved, as to what card comes out next. And it's generally a narrative thread that goes from one card to the next. So it might be like there was someone that was kidnapped, and you, like, one explanation of that is go like rescue her. Or the other explanation is pay to cover this up because people won't like it. And so you can go to, you can just go to a big city, pay a load of money, and it covers it up and job done. And
like it.
I was a ghoul. I was playing a bad guy kind of thing.
Of course.
I paid to cover it up kind of idea. And I mean, but in a previous game when we'd had that come out, we'd gone the other route type of thing. So it's just interesting that it's got those narrative threads that you can just kill off at some point, or you can like follow to their like natural progression as a story, and find that quite interesting. That's a really good thing within the system. And yeah, as I said, that kind of again lends itself quite well to it being in the board game. Also, just once talked about the components, it's got little minifigures of all your different kind of characters in the game. They're, you know, nothing too impressive, but they are what they are type thing. But then the thing I really quite like is the player boards, and you've got like the special letters that you need to collect, and the system for doing that's quite good. It gives you more re-rolls on the dice.
S-K-A-T-E, right.
That's not how you spell special.
What?
But yeah, like, and that system works quite well. And there's quite a few systems that work quite well, and they kind of stack quite nicely on top of each other. As I said, it's a heavy one to learn. I think it's something that I'll get more enjoyment out of the more I play, possibly, because it will get a bit easier to play through and not have to, you know, read everything that's going on every time that we're doing something new kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, that's my kind of early impressions, but I will have a more detailed written thing coming up. And spoilers, it may be a future Tabletop Tuesday game. Shh.
Ooh.
Don't tell anyone. Don't tell a soul. Okay. And the other one I gave a quick try was Mechs versus Minions, which is available to play at Loading Dawson, which we'll come back to in a second.
What game is that based off of?
It is based on League of Legends, which is a
Philistine! Heresy!
Which is a video game that I'm not overly familiar with. I've seen other people play it. I haven't played it myself.
I tried it.
Yes. How'd you like it?
Oh, just leave it there.
Oh, good.
If you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say it at all.
It's not a MOBA, is it? It's a...
It is a MOBA.
Is it MOBA? Yeah. It's kind of in lanes type thing more than...
It's a MOBA.
Anyway, okay.
You're a MOBA.
You're a MOBA. But yeah, basically, this is a board game recreation of that, of a video game I'm not overly familiar with, but this is a really, like, highly respected and well thought of board game. It's also freaking huge because it's got really nice, like, minis in it. And, the minions are all, like, just tiny, non-painted miniatures. But the actual mechs themselves that you're playing as are really nice, painted miniatures, like pre-painted miniatures.
Okay.
And they look awesome. And I've got some pictures up on the thing from Tabletop Tuesday this week as well, basically. So it's on my Instagram, so go have a look. But the actual, there's a kind of boss one as well, which is like, it's apparently one of the minions in the game has got hold of one of the like heroes from League of Legends, like robot suit things. And he's like nicked it and nicked off with it. And yeah, there's a massive thing of that.
Could you replace the boss figure with the Thanos figure from Thanos Rising?
Thanos Rising.
Yeah.
No, it's wrong shape.
Ah.
But wrong shape base. But yeah, like I only played through like the tutorial and the kind of first scenario of that basically, but just to get an idea so I can help teach people if they want to come in and play it, which... It's so big and it's such a big thing you kind of have to do slightly like pre-book, and you can mention to me at Tabletop Tuesday and it's one thing I can help arrange if we have space. It's a huge game, basically.
Wow.
But yeah, like it's really good, and I really enjoyed it. It's like the component pieces are really good. It's a kind of programming game almost. So you've got your like player board in front of you. It's numbered 1 to 6. And you basically, there's a drafting system of cards that go around and you pick different cards on the turn, and they can either be, they'll either be a move, a rotation, or an attack, generally. But they'll also be in a different category, like there's like the lightning category. And if you have 3 lightning things, they can stack on each other. And if you have the 3 of them, you get the 3rd level power, basically. So you can upgrade them as you go, and if you get more of the same thing. You're all working as a team, so it's like co-op. So you can kind of coordinate what you're doing. But after the first few rounds, we get an idea of how the drafting works and what the kind of cards are. It's all timed as well. There's a timer for it. So you only get a minute to decide and do the draft between all of you, basically. So yeah, it's just a few interesting elements. The programming thing comes in where you've got this programming track and you resolve as you go through. So if you've put like a move, a rotation, and an attack, it's all basically a square grid, and you're move will be like move forward 1 square, which you might be able to then upgrade and then upgrade again to 2 and 3 squares. Okay. But like some of the movements will have an attack associated with them. So I had a skewer attack where anything I moved through, I skewered on the way, basically. So I could
like a kebab.
Attack. Yeah. I could attack multiple things on the way kind of thing. But then, yeah, like, and then you can, but then you might have a rotation. And when the first time you get a rotation, it's you have to turn 90 degrees at the start of, you know, when it gets to that card, basically.
Right.
But then when you upgrade that, it'll be, well, you can turn 90 or 180. So it gives you a bit more options. So, and the third time you upgrade it, it will be you can rotate in any degree that you want, basically. So you've got full flexibility with it. And then you can get like attack things that will be like attack everyone like 1 square away from you diagonally, upgrade it will be like 2 or 3 squares, and then the third upgrade will be attack diagonally from where you are across the whole board, which is, you know, like really nice and powerful kind of thing. And it's all a matter of like the we were playing as a 3, but however many people are playing with 3 or 4, like coordinating the things that you're picking up, how you're like powering up your different mechs. But then you also get like glitches that throw a spanner in the works, so they'll like they might mix up the order of your things. It'll be like swap number 2 and number 5, or swap number 1 and number 6, and it'll mess up the order of the things that you have. So you need to like reprogram where you're turning, where you're moving, and where you're hitting things. Basically,
you can't see this, listener. You can't see this, but Tim is doing the most ridiculous hand movements as he's trying to explain the placements of each piece of the game.
I'm not used to being able to see.
He looks like the crappiest Eminem impersonator. But you're enjoying it.
But yeah, it's really good. As I said, it's it's a huge game and worth trying out before you buy, because you want to see if you're going to invest this much money in the game, you want to see it. It's something that, yeah, is difficult to play at loading, so please pre-arrange coming in and doing it. As in, if you ask me one tabletop Tuesday, we might be able to arrange it for you the next week, hopefully, or to come in on another occasion and just play it, basically.
Right.
But yeah.
Big game.
But yeah, it's huge. But if you like that, if you like League of Legends and you're interested in coming and learning the game and just having a look,
yeah,
at it, worth purping in for. And just generally, yeah, it's huge and awesome. So
huge and awesome,
worth playing as I'm not the fan of the video game myself, but really enjoyed it just as a really good board game. So
now, yeah. Tim is a LOL fan, and you can now call him a toxic masculine man.
You could have called me that before. It wouldn't have been accurate in either case, necessarily, but, good.
I'll see you on Twitter winding up the vegans.
Oh, God.
I meant to open the show with that. I forgot about that.
That was a conversation. So many times in this conversation, why did I start?
Why did you poke the bear?
I really was I wanted to contribute to the conversation, guys. I wasn't trying to be a dick.
Be fair. Right, okay. So listeners, Tim had a run-in with some vegans online. It was quite funny for me on the outside, who was tempted to join in and went, nah, he's made his bed, he can lie in this one.
I'm accepting you have the moral high ground. You just didn't need to attack me from it because I wanted to add to your conversation.
What was the poll? Someone put a poll up. It's like, what do you think's the
biggest
most
obstacle to you being a vegan?
Males being a vegan.
To males being vegan.
And it was like social.
It was like toxic masculinity,
a bit social health problems, i.e. protein and stuff, or other. I was like, none.
Yeah,
none
it was like, dude, it's none of those things. It's the fact that I really like the taste of bacon and steaks.
Well, mine is I do think about doing a vegan diet for health reasons, but none of those apply to me.
Yeah.
I'm just not there yet.
Yeah. But I even said, I'm being slightly flippant.
Bacon.
I'm being slightly flippant.
Yeah.
But generally, my answer is more, my first two answers would be more likely to be bacon and steaks.
Yeah.
But
it was as it was going further, and the case was going, breed animal for food, and we don't breed babies for food and stuff. And
I'm going, debate, which you're never
and
gonna.
I'm looking at it each time, going, why are you replying? That's League of Legends.
Yes, that is League of Vegans.
League of Vegans. Okay, so talking about, there's nothing wrong with vegans. We all stay.
No,
like I say, do actually want to go down that route myself once more. So here we go. Anyway, talking about wrapping up the show and things that aren't related to video games, but are maybe related to video games in the sense that there are board games that are related to video games.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday is a Tuesday, and that means that this Tuesday will be, in fact, Tabletop Tuesday, and that that is an event that Tim loves to go to and get you all to play some goddamn games.
Yeah, so usually we've got a couple of days breathing room between
Don't
me doing Tabletop Tuesday.
Believing.
But it was only last night, so it's very fresh in my memory and lots of video game, board game stuff. But the video game, board game goodness does continue, Mr. Coleman.
Whoa!
We have got a real doozy this week. It's one I've been trying to get for a while, and I think it's going to go down really well in loading, and it's an awesome-looking thing. And, yeah, I showed you this? Did I show you this?
No, I don't think you have.
Okay, I'll show you this after the show. But it's a thing called 8-Bit Box.
8-Bitcoin?
8-Bit Box.
Oh, it's close.
But, yeah, basically, it's a, and it's one of those things that when you see it, you're like, oh, right, that's what you mean. But it's hard to describe, because it's a meeting. It's a board game.
Yep.
Let's get that fresh.
I'm following you there.
That's in your head, right?
I got it.
It's a board game.
Got it.
Video game console. Right?
You lost me.
So you got the board game bit, yeah?
Yep.
Right?
I'm getting that.
It's a video game console. Board game.
Oh, you have
video
shown
game
me this. Yeah, you've shown me this.
So what it is basically, yeah, you've got three games in the box that it comes in, and a load of little controllers that kind of, I think they just keep track of your score and other bits that are going on in the game. But then, yeah, those interact with different components that you get out of the three games, and it gives you three different games you can play with.
Gotcha.
And all of those three games are kind of very closely based on like video game type properties. One of them is legally not Pac-Man, basically, kind of thing. You know, I think it's called Pixoid. Is that the one? And then there's a kind of,
we're not sure where, which part of the Atari license this lands on.
Definitely legally not F-Zero kind of thing. It's a racing game.
I like it.
But it's three games in a box. They're all like games that are like 15 to 40 minutes type of thing. So they're all like kind of quick to play. I think they go up to like six players kind of thing. So I think this is going to be a really good fun one to have in a video game themed bar where we do board game events. Can you think of a more perfect thing than a board game video game console?
You've got a crossover.
Now that I've explained what that is.
It's good. I like it.
Yeah, exactly.
But Tim, I want to go play this game at a bar and possibly, if I like it, have the game but not pay money for the game.
Those that don't know, we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston.
Is that in London?
That is in London.
Okay.
London, Dalston. Dalston, London.
Gotcha.
And yeah, if you come along, you can play our feature game that evening for free as long as you are buying your drinks. And then basically, if you have played that game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening. We give away a new game every week, and there's a new game to play every week. And yeah, as I said, this week's game, 8-bit
box.
Not only is it going to be an awesome game to live in the bar from now on and there to be played, but it's an awesome prize for you to win this week as well. So it's a really good week to come along and play. If you've never been and joined us before, there are more details on the top left hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, and you can join over the 1,700 people on our meetup group at meetup.com. search for Tabletop Tuesday.
One day we're going to say that we're going to update that website, and all the old podcasts will be like, you're going, oh, the top left hand side of the, because people do listen to the old shows.
That is true.
Yeah.
But surely, in old show situation, they will probably have to work out things change.
Maybe so, but don't call me Shirley.
Okay.
All right.
Also, you know, you could just put it on the top left. You're designing the site.
Shut up. That's Tabletop Tuesday, Dalston Loading Bar, Dalston, London. I said Dalston twice. I don't care. For 8-bit coin bird box.
8-bit box, Carmen. Get it right.
8-bit bird box.
No.
If you see Tim, after you've wound him up about seeing his impressive dick, how about you go check out, ask him if you can play the featured game of 8-bit coin bird box. You have to call it that as well.
If you do that, Coleman has to buy you a drink.
Touch his dick. I won't be there, mate. I'll be in France. All right.
That's a hell of a long way to go just to avoid Tabletop Tuesday, Coleman.
As we tend to do after Tabletop Tuesday, talking about of the such events and that and thing, yo, we...
Before we venture on, Coleman.
Oh, you want to talk about Rezzed?
Yes.
Okay.
I was gonna give it a shout out just to remind our listeners to get organized.
Okay. When's Rezzed, Tim?
And overthrow the government the day after Rezzed.
Yeah.
Because we any time before that, we want to make sure our live show goes ahead, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Because we're doing a live show at Rezzed.
Can we not incite a riot and have recorded proof of it?
Let's not do that.
Do you not remember how Axl Rose went to prison?
No, I didn't know.
He incited a riot at a concert.
Really?
Yeah.
What about predicting a riot in a concert?
Kaiser Chiefs are all banged up now.
Yeah, they were arrested as well.
Sorry, EGX Res, that happens every year at the Tobacco Dock in London, and it is a beautiful venue. And this year, we will be there on the Friday night. I believe we're the last show of the night. Mm-hmm. That makes us the headline by all standards of wrestling and musical festivals.
I believe everyone else will be in the pub by then, Coleman.
I don't care. So... there's going to be people there. There are people there for all the live podcasts and things that are going on. It will be really swell if some of the people there are actual genuine listeners the show. And if you are coming along, maybe bring your friends, bring your family, whoever is there with you.
Already have confirmation that we will most probably have listeners there.
Excellent.
Listeners, plural, Coleman.
We will have some stuff to give away at the show. Not to like sway you over, but there are 200 packs of Camel Balls to be given away.
I don't want to say you jumped the gun. I know you were eager for this, Coleman. I know you didn't want to like promise something and not deliver on it. But I'm glad they will be in date by the time you get there, because I didn't want you giving away moldy Camel Balls at our first live show, will, making everyone ill with your moldy camel balls, basically. That would have been bad.
Look, I've got Northern England roots in my veins. I would not let them go moldy. I would sit there and chew on 200 camel balls if that's what it takes to keep them in, make sure they don't go to waste.
That is guaranteed 200 prizes. And considering I know we have a large amount of other prizes already, that's a considerable amount of prizes, Coleman.
Surely. I mean, yeah, they're getting away. But we'll have our stuff as well. That would be really cool. So,
there's more gaming related than camel balls.
A good chance we're going to start this live show with who listens to the podcast, as much as I don't want to say that, in case like one person's like,
hi!
It's like, Nelly, what are you doing here? Nice to see you. But speaking of listeners of the show, we've spoken about everything we possibly can do this week. I'm sure Tim could find something else. That's why I'm not looking at him in the eyes right now, for fear that he might have something to talk about. But we need to do some shout-outs before we get the hell out of here.
I don't like looking you in the eyes because it freaks me out, Coleman.
I'll give you the penance stare like Ghost Rider. Yes. So some lovely people have given us shout outs on different social media platforms. And those people are as follows. On the Twitter, we've got Gabriel, Richard Kirk, Nelly, DOD Back 3000, and Damien Cooper. And on Facebook, we have
Freya Goddard.
Thank you. I gave Tim one.
But also, thank you very much for the continued amusement with the memes from Gabriel and Richard this week.
Gabriel! Gabrielle is the female singer with the one with the thing over the eye. Dreams can come true,
yeah,
Tim.
I like this.
And his dream is...
the remix.
Gabriel's dream is you call him the right name.
Okay.
Those are the fine people that gave us some kind of mention on social media platforms. So they went on Facebook for facebook.com/BigRedBarrel and on Twitter, twitter.com/BigRedBarrel or @BigRedBarrel, however you want to find us. You can just look for Big Red Barrel, really, and see what pops up. We're also available on Instagram and Twitch under those same names and other various platforms out there. Just Google Big Red Barrel and we'll probably pop up somewhere, like Dan likes to say that we do, something internet/Big Red Barrel. And of course, check out bigredbarrel.com, because that is where we host these here podcasts. We have all our articles and other kind of things, trailers that we like to show you because they are cool, such as Frozen 2.
Hey, it's geek culture, Coleman. It's the end of the part of geek culture now.
I'm not complaining. Frozen's a banger of a film.
I haven't actually watched the trailer for Frozen 2 yet. I meant to do that sometime.
They're basically turning Elsa into a superhero.
Good.
I'm all for that.
Not all superheroes wear capes, Coleman.
Some wear blue dresses. Like Captain America.
Yeah.
In his spare time. What are we doing? Those are the ways you can get in contact with us. And also, if you give us a review on iTunes, that's the best way we can read you out, because we tend to give more attention to those than the regular social media, because we like getting them reviews 5-star.
Because all the interaction, that's nice.
It's all great.
We all like it. Anytime you're saying a nice comment, that floats our soul. But iTunes actually helps the show get discovered
by more
people. So.
Apparently so. But I think the way, if you don't want to give us an iTunes review, but you would like to help out the show and somehow, we're not asking for money from you. We don't have some kind of Patreon for you to give us, to fling us some shillings at us.
Because we're stupid.
We are dumb. But at the same time, it would be nice if we got that bit more interaction. So as Dan's not here to do the outro, I'm going to say, how about this week, you introduce someone to the show. If you like this show and you think someone else is going to like this show, maybe recommend it. If they don't...
Not this week, obviously, because this is a car crash with just the two of us.
That's right. Gift your loved one the gift.
Well, actually, maybe...
of Big Red Barrel UK for this Valentine's
Day.
Maybe
this is a good way to ease someone in to Dan. They can introduce us to... And then Dan can come, not necessarily Dan, but just ease them into the show. Two of us this week, and then the whole shebang next week.
Yeah. Stick a pinky in. Next week.
Yeah.
Three fingers. And then when it's the big episode, when it's the live show.
I don't know.
And I didn't swear, so I don't have to beep any of that out.
Don't. It's probably a good thing the listeners didn't see the gesticulations that came with that.
You started it.
Good. That's easy for me
to
say.
You made the motion before I did. Drinks. I just made a sound effect.
What?
So for this episode, that has been episode 330. Oh my God, we've had so many episodes. Of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. Like I say, this episode is released on Valentine's Day. And if you are finding yourself alone on Valentine's Day, then do you know what? Guess what, listeners? We'll be your Valentine. Yes, we will. So for this week, I have been Coleman.
I might have been Tim.
And until next time, dear listeners, a goodbye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.